ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डेमिगॉड्स अपील टू द लॉर्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 48 नावम कर्म कल्पोपि विफलायेश्वरार्पितः कल्पते पुरुषस्यैव सह्यात्मा दयितो हितः. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of the living entities. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita 2.40, the Lord says, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayad. This dharma, devotional service, is so important that even if performed to a very small, almost negligible extent, it can give one the supreme result. There are many instances in the history of the world in which even a slight service rendered to the Lord has saved a living entity from the greatest danger. Ajamil, for example, was saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the greatest danger, that of going to hell. He was saved simply because he chanted the name Narayan at the end of his life. When Ajamil chanted this holy name of the Lord, Narayan, he did not chant knowingly. Actually, he was calling his youngest son, whose name was Narayan. Nonetheless, Lord Narayan took this chanting seriously, and thus Ajamil achieved the result of Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering Narayan at the end of life. If one somehow or other remembers the holy name of Narayan, Krishna or Ram at the end of life, he immediately achieves the transcendental result of going back home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the only object of our love. As long as we are in this material world, we have so many desires to fulfill. But when we come in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we immediately become perfect and fully satisfied, just as a child is fully satisfied when he comes to the lap of his mother. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest to achieve some material result by austerity and penance. But when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, I do not want any material benediction. I am completely satisfied. Even if one wants some material benefit from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this can be achieved extremely easily without hard labor. Therefore, the Shastra recommends Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Ejeta Purusham Param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Even if one has material desires, one can undoubtedly achieve what he wants by rendering service to the Lord. So today we are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 5. So in these verses, Lord Brahma is continuing to offer his prayers to the Supreme Lord. So in this particular verse especially, Lord Brahma is actually telling the glory of devotional service to the Lord. He particularly says, that activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of the living entities. So, Prabhupada actually quotes the verse from the Bhagavad Gita and says that when a person executes devotional service, even a slight advancement or even a small service performed in devotional service can actually save one from the greatest danger of life. So, if we want to understand, in order to understand the glory of devotional service, we will actually try to explain from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which Rupa Goswami is telling about the power of devotional service. When a person executes devotional service, six characteristics manifest in the person who executes it. So the first characteristic is known as Kleshagni. That means relief from all distress. So every person in this world is actually either trying to get relief from all distress or trying to get happiness. So when a person executes devotional service, one gets relief from all the distress. So in order to explain that, Rupa Goswami says that first of all, there are three causes of distress. The three causes of distress are sinful activity or papam, and bijam, sinful desire, and avidya or ignorance. Ignorance is the root cause of the suffering, because of ignorance of one's real identity as the eternal servant of the Lord, one actually misidentifies himself with this material body and one tries to enjoy independently from Krishna. So then he develops various sinful desires. Then he commits so many sinful activities or pious activities which result ultimately in suffering. So Rupa Goswami says that devotional service is the best process for getting relief from distress, because devotional service nullifies all the three causes of suffering, that is papam, bijam and avidya. Whereas there are so many other processes which are also recommended in the Vedic scriptures, which promise one that one will get relief from distress by performing those activities. But whereas those other processes like Karma Kanda, or various rituals which are mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, or Jnana, or the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas, they may give relief from the distress, but they are not the best processes, because they do not nullify all the three causes of suffering. They can at most nullify the sinful reactions which are supposed to come because of the sinful activities. But they cannot remove the sinful desires. Like one may remove the sinful reactions, but then the desire to commit sinful activity will be there in the heart. Because of that, one may again indulge in sinful activities. Just like an elephant, when the elephant takes bath, immediately after taking bath in a river, it will come and then put mud on his body. So what is the use of that taking bath? So similarly, one may get relief from the reactions of sinful activities, but then because of the sinful desires, if you again commit sinful activities, what is the use of that? So Rupa Goswami says, in order to explain that how devotional service gives relief from sinful activities, he says that first of all, there are two kinds of sins, sinful activities. That is, one is aprarabdha papa and prarabdha papa. Aprarabdha papa means unmanifest sinful activities, sinful reaction. Suppose a person commits a theft. So he is not yet arrested, but then he is going to be arrested in the near future. So the reaction is not yet manifest. So that means he is having an unmanifest reaction. And once it is manifest, it is called as prarabdha papa. Once he is put into the jail, his reaction is manifest. So Rupa Goswami says, devotional service nullifies both the aprarabdha papa and prarabdha papa. So when a person commits, when a person is having this avidya or ignorance, then that leads to sinful desires and then he commits sinful activities. So when a person commits a sinful activity, before it manifests in the form of a complete reaction, it goes through different stages. First of all, it actually manifests in the form of kutam or sinful proclivity. For example, suppose because of one's past sinful activities, one is supposed to be a thief. So initially, it manifests in the form of a sinful proclivity, in the form of dishonest dealings or cheating propensity. So that is called kutam or sinful proclivity. So then, when that kutam, when it further advances, one develops a specific desire to perform a sinful activity. One develops a specific desire to commit particular, to steal something, or to commit some other sinful activity. So then kutam manifests in the form of a bijam or sinful desire. And that sinful desire, and then because of sinful desire, then he actually commits a sinful activity. So that is called as papam. So then when a person commits a sinful activity, then there are two reactions. One is unmanifested sinful reaction. And that unmanifest sinful reaction will lead to further kutam, will increase his sinful proclivity, and then in that way it will increase his sinful desire, etc. And then the sinful activity will also manifest in the form of a manifest sinful reaction, in the form of getting a particular punishment or getting a particular disease. That is called prarabdha papam. So, in order to explain how devotional service destroys manifest sinful reaction, Rupa Goswami quotes a verse from the third canto. So before trying to understand this verse, when a sinful reaction is manifest, like it can manifest in the form of different chronic disease or birth in a low family or low education or different things like being entangled in a legal implication, etc. So when a person is having these reactions in one's life, that means one must understand that he is having a sinful background. So in order to explain how devotional service destroys manifest sinful reaction or prarabdha papa, Rupa Goswami says, Yannama deya shravananu kirtanat yat prahvanat yat smaranat api kvachit shvadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavannu darshanat. Rupa Goswami says, a person who is born in the family of dog eaters, if he simply hears about the Supreme Lord or remembers the Supreme Lord or chants the glories of the Supreme Lord, even once, if such a person does any of these activities even once, then he will become immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. So, in the Vedic culture, in order to perform a Vedic sacrifice, one has to be Brahman initiated. One has to be initiated twice by a spiritual master. So one has to have a certain qualification. But then, in this verse it is explained, a person who is born in the family of dog eaters, that means he is having a very sinful background. He is having a prarabdha papa. When a person takes birth in a low family, that means he is having a very sinful background. But even if such a person If a person even once renders devotional service to the Lord, he becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. So in this connection, in this verse, the word used for a dog eater is shvada. Shvada means dog eater. So the acharyas, they give a specific meaning for this word shvada. Shvada is a combination of two words, shva plus adan. Shva means dog and adan means the act of eating. So shvada means one who is a dog eater. But then the act of eating, that is used in the present tense. So that means a person who is having the habit of eating, means a person who is accustomed to eating dogs every day, even such a person who is having such a sinful background, even he can be immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices if he even once renders devotional service to the Lord. So the word shvada does not refer to a person who has accidentally committed the sin of eating dog once in his lifetime. Sometimes a person may accidentally commit a sin of eating dog or some other sinful activity. Otherwise, he might have led a pious life. But then, the word shvada does not refer to such a person, but shvada refers to a person who is having a very sinful background, who is having the habit of eating dogs day in and day night. Even such a person, even if he once renders devotional service to the Lord, he can become immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices, provided he performs devotional service without committing any offense. So that is the power of devotional service. And further, Rupa Goswami says, so when a person hears this verse, one may think that, oh, even if a person once renders devotional service, then all the prarabdha papa are immediately destroyed. But then we see that in our own case, that the manifest, we have got so many sinful reactions in the form of chronic disease or sinful birth, etc. But then we see that it does not get destroyed immediately. One may have taken to devotional service, but then still one may be suffering from so many chronic diseases. So one may wonder, but then one may think, oh, devotional service is not working upon me. One may say like that. So in order to clarify that, Rupa Goswami is saying that, he's quoting a verse from the Padma Puran. He says that when a person executes devotional service, first, aprarabdha papa or unmanifest sinful reaction. First step is unmanifest sinful reaction is destroyed. And then kutam or sinful proclivity is destroyed. Then bijam, sinful desires are destroyed. Then the last thing which will be destroyed is prarabdha papa or manifest sinful reaction. So Rupa Goswami is saying, step by step, these sinful reactions are destroyed. The first thing which will be destroyed is aprarabdha papa or unmanifest sinful reactions. And second thing is sinful proclivity, sinful disposition, like dishonest dealings, a cheating propensity, like that. And third thing is sinful desires. Then the last thing which will be destroyed is sinful, manifest sinful reaction or prarabdha papa. So if it is like that, one may ask, so if it is going to be destroyed step by step, then why should we mention that one becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice even if he is born in a family of dog eaters? One may ask the question. So in order to clarify that, Rupa Goswami says, just like devotees are making garlands. So when a person is making garland, suppose when he is having, say, 5 petals, and then he is putting the needle through the petals. So when a person is putting needle through the petals, actually the needle goes through all the 5 petals at once in a matter of 1 second. But then what is happening is, first the needle goes through the first petal, then the needle goes through the second petal, then the third petal, then fourth petal, then the fifth petal. But actually it appears at once. So similarly, when a person performs devotional service, the sinful reactions are destroyed step by step. First the aprarabdha papa is destroyed, then kutam, then bijam, then prarabdha. But actually, from the point of view of eternity, it appears, it is destroyed in a matter of one lifetime or few lifetimes. Because if you see from the point of view of eternity, we have been in this material world since time immemorial, since millions and crores of births. The sinful reactions are accumulated from millions of births, but they are destroyed in a matter of maybe few years or one or two lifetimes. So from the point of view of eternity, the sinful reactions are destroyed at once. But actually, it is happening step by step. Just like when a person puts a needle through the petals, it actually goes through the first petal, then second petal, third petal, etc. But actually, it appears as if it is going at once. But then, the Acharya's comment that the aprarabdha papa or unmanifested sinful reactions, they say that they are infinite in number. Infinite in number. That means the unmanifest sinful reactions are the infinite number of unmanifest sinful reactions, they are destroyed at the very beginning of devotional service. So unmanifest sinful reactions are infinite. That means we are destined to get infinite number of chronic diseases, infinite number of cancer, infinite number of tuberculosis, or infinite number of legal implications, infinite number of birth in low family, infinite number of birth in low, having a low education, etc. So those infinite number of reactions, they are destroyed at the very beginning. The prarabdha papa or the manifest sinful reactions, they are finite in number. At a particular time, few unmanifest sinful reactions, they manifest in the form of prarabdha papa, in the form of few chronic disease or in the form of one low birth or low education, etc. So many times when a person gets certain problems, one becomes so much absorbed by the manifest sinful reaction in the form of manifest diseases or low education or legal implication that he forgets the point that unmanifest and infinite number of unmanifest reactions are destroyed at the very beginning. So that is the power of devotional service. So when a person understands that, even when in the face of difficulties, one will be grateful that actually Krishna has removed so many infinite number of unmanifest sinful reactions, but he has just given few manifest sinful reactions which will be destroyed in a matter of a lifetime. So this is the power of devotional service. So then, so another, the power of devotional service is also explained in the seventh, in the beginning of seventh canto, where Narada Muni is telling that tasmat vairanu bandena nirvairena bayenava snehat kamena vayunjat katanchin nekshate pritak. Narada Muni says, if a person is absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, either out of affection or out of enmity or out of fear or out of love or lust, whatever feelings one may have, but then if a person has the feelings towards the Supreme Lord, such a person will attain perfection, because Supreme Lord is not affected by enmity or friendship. So the Supreme Lord, even if a person has enmity towards the Supreme Lord, such a person will get benefit. Just like Suppose a candle is there. Suppose a room is completely dark. If a candle is brought inside the room, so the darkness is dissipated. If a small candle can dissipate the darkness in the room, what to speak if sun itself enters the room? What will be the effect? So similarly, if even enmity towards the Supreme Lord, if it can attract the Supreme Lord, then what to speak of when a person has affection towards the Supreme Lord, or when a person engages in devotional service in a favorable mood? So that is the point which is mentioned by Narada Muni. In fact, this process of devotional service, the glory of devotional service is such that the material situation does not matter. Even somebody like some devotees, like recently our Mayapur Yatra concluded. So many devotees had the opportunity to go for the Yatra, but some devotees did not have opportunity to go for the Yatra. But then the power of devotional service is such that even though one may not have the opportunity to go for the Yatra, or one might have gone for the Yatra, but then one may not have had the opportunity to go to the different places or hear the lectures. But still, if a person has the right attitude, even he will get the benefit. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, after Shukadeva Goswami describes the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he gives the phalastuti of actually hearing this Brahma Vimohan Leela. In that particular verse, Shukadeva Goswami says that one who hears and chants this pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela, in fact it will apply to all the pastimes of the Lord, one who hears and chants these pastimes of the Lord, he will get the supreme perfection in his life. So in that purport, Sanatana Goswami, Hridayananda Maharaj quotes Sanatana Goswami, and he says that what to speak of a person who hears and chants the glories of the Supreme Lord, even if a person has the inclination to hear and chant the pastimes of the Lord, even such a person will get the same benefit. That means a person who has the opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord for 4 hours, 5 hours, or one may not have the opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, but then he has the desire to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. But then because of certain services, he is not able to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. Sanatana Goswami says, even if a person simply has the inclination to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, even he will get the same perfection as one who has spent time in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. So all those devotees who had the opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, and also those devotees who are not able to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, but then they had intense desire to chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, but then because of certain services they are not able to do so, but even those persons will get the same benefit. So Hridayananda Maharaj says that many devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, because of being engaged in different services, they have the desire to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, but then they are not able to do so to their heart's content. But then even such persons will get the benefit if they have the sincere desire to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. So this is the power of devotional service, that even the material situations actually do not matter. And there are so many activities in devotional service, like worshipping the deities of the Lord, or serving the devotees, or chanting the names of the Lord, etc. So out of all the process of devotional service, one of the most powerful process of devotional service is serving the devotees of the Lord. In fact, this glory of serving the devotees of the Lord is explained so wonderfully in the very first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the sages of Naimisharanya, they say, Yat Pada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhya Punant Yupas Prishta Swardun Apon Sevaya. There the sages of Naimisharanya, they are comparing the service to the glory, service to the devotees of the Lord to service to Mother Ganges. They say that when a person renders service to the devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are attached to the Supreme Lord, then such devotees have the power to purify the living entities immediately. Whereas the waters of the Ganges, they can purify a conditioned soul only after prolonged use. So there it is mentioned, when in the case of Ganges, one will become purified of Mother Ganges only when a person comes in direct contact with Mother Ganges. Like one has to go to the Bengal, one has to take darshan of Mother Ganges, or one has to take bath in Mother Ganges, or one has to bring the Ganges water from a distance and then maybe put the water. One has to have direct contact with Mother Ganges. But then, in the case of the devotees of the Supreme Lord, even if a person simply remembers the devotees of the Lord, that remembrance of the devotees of the Lord can purify a conditioned soul of all the contaminations in the heart. So that is the power of taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And in this particular purport, Prabhupada quotes his famous verse, Neha Bikrama Nashosti, that even a slight advancement in the process of devotional service can save one from the greatest danger of life. So we have been seeing in so many verses that what is the power of devotional service, the power of devotees, or the power of hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. How even a small act can actually purify the contaminations which are there deep within the heart. So, but then, in the Bhagavad Gita, the just after this verse, Neha Vikrama Nashosti, where Krishna is saying, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Yekeha Kurunandana. He says, in the previous verse, he says that even a slight advancement can save one from the greatest danger of life. But then in the next verse, Krishna is saying, but then one should be resolute in one's purpose. If one's intelligence is divided, if one is having different motivations, if one's mind is engaged and absorbed in so many activities, then one cannot attain perfection. Krishna is demanding full surrender. Krishna is demanding one-pointed attention. Although Krishna says that even a slight advancement can save one from the greatest danger of life, immediately in the next verse, he is actually demanding one-pointed surrender. Even in the sixth chapter of the Gita, when Arjuna told Krishna that mind is very difficult to control, the mind is very obstinate, Chanchalam hi manak Krishna, pramati balavadadam. It is flickering, it is stubborn. When Arjuna said about how mind is difficult to control, he says that even I can even control the wind, but then I cannot control my mind. So then Krishna says, Asam shayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. Krishna is saying, definitely, it is mind is very difficult to control. Again, Krishna is showing a very lenient attitude towards Arjuna. Krishna is accepting. In one point, from Krishna's point of view, like Krishna's expansions are Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. From Sankarshan, he expands into another four Chaturvyuha. From there, expands Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, millions of universes are emanating. And in each of these universes, millions of living entities are there. And one particular living entity is having the size of a 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. And then he is having a mind and intelligence and false ego. And that one such insignificant living entity who is there in one of the millions of universes of Mahavishnu, who is the expansion and expansion of Krishna, He is saying my mind is difficult to control. But then Krishna is acknowledging that. From Krishna's point of view, it is completely insignificant thing. But then still Krishna is acknowledging, yes, mind is very difficult to control. But then in the same verse, Krishna says, Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam. What is the next line? Abhyasenatu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagruhyate. The same verse Krishna is saying, but by constant practice and detachment, it is definitely possible to control the mind. Although Krishna is acknowledging it is difficult to control, but then Krishna is also saying, one should be detached, one should constantly practice to control the mind. So Krishna is taking a lenient step. At the same time, he also demands complete concentration and practice and renunciation. So even Srila Prabhupada, like once Brahmanand Prabhu, when he was preaching in Pakistan, like there was a news that Pakistan was in great trouble, there was war. So when Prabhupada heard, he was in great trouble that whether my devotees are safe. So he was in great anxiety. And finally when Brahmanand Prabhu came to meet Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada embraced Brahmanand Prabhu and he was actually having tears of affection for Brahmanand Prabhu. And he was seeing whether all his limbs are intact. So Prabhupada was so pleased by the risk Brahmanand Prabhu took in his mission. But then immediately after that, Prabhupada sent Brahmanand Prabhu to preach in Africa. So Prabhupada acknowledged even the slight service rendered, acknowledged the risk which his disciples took in his mission, but at the same time, he also expected full surrender. He sent him to Africa. Like Gopinachandra was giving one of his classes, like when Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving lectures in the Second Avenue in the initial years, during one of his classes, one person entered the room and then he went to the toilet and put toilet paper and went. So Prabhupada, he acknowledged that person's small service, saying that this person has begun his devotional service. He just put a very rendered an insignificant service by putting toilet paper in the toilet. He acknowledged that insignificant service, but in the same service, Prabhupada was talking about how one should take shelter of a spiritual master, how one should surrender to the spiritual master. So he exhibited the same mood of Krishna. So this quality of how a devotee, although that Lord actually acknowledges even a small service rendered by a devotee, but then a devotee is not satisfied with rendering small service, but then he actually wants to render more and more service. Like this quality is exhibited in a very wonderful way in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it is beyond my realization, but still it was very inspiring, so I thought I will just share. So this quality was exhibited by Uddhava in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the third canto, it is explained, Evam Triloka Guruna Sandishta Shabda Yonina Badaryashramam Asadhya Harim Ije Samadhina. It is explained that Lord Krishna, before winding up these pastimes, in this verse it is explained that how Lord Krishna had the attitude of taking care of each and every devotee. When he was present in the earth planet, he actually gave his association to the residents of Vrindavan, then the residents of Mathura, Dwaraka, then he went to Mithila in order to give his association to Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, even went to the heavenly planets and gave his association to the demigods there when he went to steal the Parijata tree. And he even gave his mercy to the lower planetary system, Sutal Loka. So, but then he was thinking that now I have to go back to the spiritual world, but then I have to give my association to the sages of Badrikashram. So then, in order to take care, in order to give his association to the sages of Badrikashram, Lord Krishna sent Uddhava as his representative. So it is explained, Evam Triloka Guruna. That's Triloka Guru, that spiritual master of the all the three worlds. Sandishta Shabda Yonina. Shabda Yoni means one who is the source of all the Vedic literatures. So that one who is the source of all the Vedic literatures, he sent a message through Uddhava to the sages of Badrikashram. So Shabda Yoni means one who is the source of the Vedic literatures. Or in other words, it also means one who cannot be understood simply by going through the pages of the Vedas. Krishna cannot be understood simply by going through the pages of the Vedas. So by the word Shabda Yoni, it is indicated that Krishna gave that message which is not to be found even in the pages of the Vedas through Uddhava to the sages of Badrikashram. So Krishna gave the most confidential knowledge. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the knowledge which Krishna gave to Uddhava, it is more confidential than what he spoke to Lord Brahma in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Krishna gave that most confidential knowledge through Uddhava to the sages of Badrikashram. So Uddhava was that most, he was not any devotee of Krishna, but he was that most confidential, trusted devotee of Krishna, whom Krishna chose to give message to the sages of Badrikashram. So there is a faithful devotee, but even higher than that is a trusted devotee. So Krishna, when he actually went back to the spiritual world, he took all the residents of Dwaraka back to his abode. But then he actually made Uddhava stay in order to give his association to the sages of Badrikashram through Uddhava. So Uddhava was the trusted devotee of Krishna, even higher than the faithful devotee of Krishna. But even higher than being a trusted devotee, like one may be a trusted devotee, but then what is more important is how he deals with other people. So the same Uddhava is explaining the third canto, Manye Asuran Bhagavatam Sradishe Samramba Marga Abhinivishta Chittan. This Uddhava is saying that although he was the most trusted devotee of Krishna, whom Krishna chose among all the people in Dwaraka in order to execute that confidential mission, but this Uddhava is considering, he is saying that the demons are better than the devotees. The demons of the Supreme Lord are actually better than me. He says, because the demons, they were able to see the Supreme Lord Krishna when they were about to die. But maybe I may not be able to see Krishna when I am about to die. So I may not achieve the same perfection as the demons. So there is a faithful devotee, but even higher than that is a trusted devotee. But even higher than that is, although when a person is a trusted devotee, but he considers himself as lesser than other devotees. In fact, Uddhava goes one step ahead. He feels that he is even lesser than the demons. Manye Asuran Bhagavatam Sradishe. So that is the glory of Uddhava. And then Uddhava is speaking this verse in the absence of Krishna. Maybe in the presence of Krishna one may be giving respect to others. But even in the absence of Krishna, after Krishna has gone back to the spiritual world, Uddhava is saying that actually the demons are better than me. They were able to see Krishna when they were about to die, but then maybe I may not be able to see Krishna. So the power of, in this way we can understand, the glory of devotional service is that even a slight act of devotional service performed can actually purify one's contamination. But then a devotee does not stop with that. Although Krishna says that even a slight advancement can save him from the greatest danger of life, he also expects full surrender. And such surrender is exhibited by Uddhava, who was not just a faithful devotee, but he was the most trusted devotee of Krishna. But in fact, he went one step ahead. He considered himself as lesser than even the demons. So I'll stop here in case if anybody has any comments or corrections. I think we are very beyond time, so we'll. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.